All right, everybody shut up. I said shut up. Now, are you ready to play the game?
No.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Pelicans Podcast.
Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Foul ball.
All rep, no physical.
What's up? Welcome to a Pelican Plunge. Yes, we are back. It's been a while, not going to lie. It has been a while, but it's morning after a victory against the Lakers. What a perfect excuse to do a podcast. Joining me as ever is Jason. Jason, love the show. I bet you're feeling fantastic.
I'm feeling better now, but when I woke up this morning, it wasn't so great. So for any of you who heard it, I did hop on the Dome Patrol show last night. Luckily, I didn't stay on too long because I was in a drunken rambling mood. So nice zero today.
As you can see from your Twitter feed.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, when you play the Lakers, it always kind of riles me up when we play the Lakers just because I hate them and I hate the amount of Laker fans here in the world.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, everyone's saying, you beat the Lakers without AD LeBron. Fuck AD. Fuck LeBron. If you're a two-man team, you're a two-man team. It's not our fault. We can only beat what was given to us in front of us. And I think we only just beat the Lakers. We absolutely annihilated the Lakers.
Yeah, and the final score, the final score shows we won by 17, but at one point in the fourth quarter, they were up by 30. So
yeah,
it really was destruction. First quarter was pretty tight, but the second and third quarter, they just pulled away. It's something they had to do. Without the two stars, they had to win this game. They couldn't lose to the piece of shit Lakers team.
They were fucking garbage, and it's great. And that must make, I know they've won a title and everything, but that must make people like Brandon Ingram feel so much better, getting 36 points last night against his old team. Josh Hart getting a lot of rebounds, 15 rebounds last night. He was sensational off the bench, and it must be nice for those guys.
Yeah, in the several games that they've played against the Lakers since coming over here, it seems, they've been motivated to play well. I'm pretty sure they have had good games. I know we hadn't necessarily won. On the top of my head, I can't recall how we did against them last year.
Seven defeats in a row against the Lakers.
Okay.
Before last night.
Okay. Of course they're motivated. The Lakers gave up on them. I mean, I get it. It was to get AD, but there's always going to be a little chip on the shoulder against the Lakers, which is good because I hate them. You want players who hate the Lakers as much as you do.
Just wish the fans hate the Lakers as much as we do.
Yeah, some of us do. The Lakers fans will always come out of the woodwork. Those are the two games they go to a year, and they pay top dollar for the ticket. There were times where I'd sell it just to make the money, but recently I don't want those assholes in the building.
No,
so I don't care. Exactly. I don't care how much money I can get for the ticket.
Exactly. You don't want that. Right. You don't want that. It's not the way to build a home field advantage. Look, we've complained loads of times on the Dome Patrol about season ticket holders selling season tickets to road teams, and it creates, you don't want a soft atmosphere. You want people dreading coming into your building to play.
Yeah. And sure, this year's different with COVID and not a full arena, but in normal times, it's maybe not half, but I feel like it's at least 40% Lakers fans under a regular, full arena, which is, it's discouraging. You probably see this around the league too, not just here. It's just still frustrating.
Do you think after COVID and you're allowed full arenas again, do you think there'll be a bit more support for the Pelicans because of people have taken it for granted?
I'd like to think so, maybe initially, but a lot of it's going to depend on how they finish the season. Can they squeak into the playoffs and get a couple playoff games? I do think people are, and that's part of what pisses me off. You get so many goddamn Saints fans that live and die with the Saints. And sure, they've got a lot more history here, but the Pelicans are our team too. And you got a guy like Zion who has just been incredible. I mean, he has been absolutely unreal to watch. And it's just, you know, you do have your diehards, and maybe there are a few people kind of picking up on it, but to have a guy like this here, I just feel like he's under, we definitely underappreciate him and the franchise.
And that is one thing I was very terrified of when we drafted Zion, was that the Zion buzz would last for a few days and then the city wouldn't really pick up on it and follow through. I remember his debut, how mental the arena was that night. And I was like, good, let's keep that going. Let's keep getting those same attendance figures in. Obviously, COVID had an impact on that. But I really hope we can get back to that, because with him and Brandon Ingram, we have got two absolute sensational players, potential two all-star players. Like, talent-wise, they're going to be the two best players, you know, up there, two of the top five players in Pelican history, easily. And then you've got young guys coming through like Alexander Walker, who's just exploded this year, especially recently, last couple of games. He's been absolutely fantastic. And yeah, Jackson Hayes is turned his funk around now. And this is a young team to really get behind and start supporting, because you say NBA championships, they're hard. They are very hard. But if you can draft well, and it looks like we have picked up some good draft picks, and we have still got a lot of ammunition going forward, we can really build a team here.
Yeah, and that's, look, the hardest part is acquiring the stars, especially in a small market like this. I mean, having Zion and Ingram, and it's crazy to think, like, Ingram's only 23 years old. Maybe he might be 24. The Pelicans, I saw last night, they've got the fifth youngest roster in the league, and we're finally starting to see some of these kids get playing time, which is pretty frustrating. You know, the franchise, and we did the same thing with Davis. We didn't, you know, we tried to win right away. We made moves to get veterans and didn't try to develop the team, and it failed spectacularly. And for a while this year, it looks like that's what we were trying to thread the needle between playing young guys and adding Adams and Bledsoe, and that shit just doesn't work. So I'm just trying to think, is this something that was David Griffin's actual decision to do this, or was this somehow forced upon him by management? Because it seemed like in the Davis era, it was done by management. I mean, Benson didn't have many years left. He wanted to win right away, and it fucked us. So I hope it's not management dictating anything doing this, because that would just look bad. But maybe they're finally starting to realize, hey, you know, the improvement of Hayes, which I think has been really the biggest. I mean, look, Zion's great, we get it, but the biggest improvement, the biggest eye opener for me has been Hayes, because 3 weeks ago he was a bust. He was looking like a bust. Couldn't even play.
Number eight overall pick.
Yeah, couldn't even play, and when he did get playing time, I mean, he looked completely lost. So he was terrible, and he didn't earn the time, but something happened, something clicked, and maybe he realized, hey, if I don't watch out, I'm gonna be out of the league in 3 years. But it has been a stunning turnaround for him, and to get production from him in that spot is just completely massive. And again, he's only 20 or 21 20.
So we got Lewis, the rookie, who's 19, who I thought he had his best game in a Pelican jersey last night. He really, and it was good that we were so far ahead, we could give him those valuable minutes. Zion's next 20, Jackson Hayes 20, Alexander Walker 22. Next for one, there's Lonzo Ball 23, Ingram 23, Josh Hart 26. Like, then you've got Adams. Adams is only, everyone thinks Adams is old, but Adams is only 27. Mm-hmm. You know, you still got good years on Steven Adams. Eric Bledsoe, 31, and JJ Redick, 36. But we don't need to talk about those last two, because fingers crossed, they might not be on the roster when you listen to this. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's, you know, the trade deadline's coming up, and there's just no, you know, that, like, there really haven't been any moves yet. It's kind of surprising, unless people are just waiting for the first domino to fall.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it sounds like the Pelicans are looking to move on from JJ Redick, Eric Bledsoe, and rumors of Lonzo Ball as well. I'll be very upset if we do move on from Lonzo. I get we've got people like Lewis and Nikhil Alexander Walker, but we've always struggled with a bench here. We've never been able to have a good bench, and the drop off from our starting five to the bench, it's awful. And you need to say, turn around and say, well, yeah, okay, we've got Kyrie and you've got Lewis and Nikhil at the moment, and you also got Lonzo, but you know, you, some of those are going to be on the bench, but that's perfect. They can be on the bench. That's fine. Let's have a strong bench. That's how you win championships. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard for me to see them trading him, because they're going to need to get a lot in return. At least I would demand a lot in return. But obviously the big question is, he's a restricted free agent after the year. Some team can sign him to an offer. We'd have to match it. I mean, he's going to get 20 plus million a year, which I'm on the fence. Like, sometimes it looks like he's worth it. Other times it looks like he's not. The issue is, you're already going to have two max players in Zion and Ingram, and in our market, we can't have three max players. So that's kind of the issue here.
Will Zion, when's Zion's contract up?
Oh, it won't be. It's probably another
2 years.
Yeah. What is it? 4 years. And then we get the fifth year option and then we extend them. So
we've got a while still.
Yeah, sorry. So you have a while, and you know, never mind. I was thinking, I know, like, as you gain more experience, the max contracts go up in value, but he's going to, you know, he's got the same rookie one that Ingram just signed. So, but still, you know, you can't really have three max players on your roster. So I think that's just where the crunch comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. But, Eric Bledsoe needs to go. he is fucking awful.
He's terrible. Like, he's terrible.
That is that move is on. You know, we're talking about, you know, we trust David Griff. We said in the podcast earlier, everything David Griff is doing, we trust him. He's got the experience. You know, we like the direction we're going. But this offseason, how long it took to do to decide who the head coach was, bringing in Bledsoe and the money he's on, and Adam potentially. I still like Adams. I think Adams could be a good player for us. But you just got a little Griff at those, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, those two moves are, you know, when you compare those three moves, those are the real questions. Bledsoe, we should have just taken nothing. Not Bledsoe, just get a giant trade exception or something. Bledsoe's just been awful. At this point, I'm just like, just pay him to go away. The problem is, he's, you know, I guess they're giving him minutes to try to showcase him in a trade, but he's awful. I mean, he played 33 minutes last night, scored 2 points. He's terrible. And at this point, we're probably going to have to throw in one of our plethora of first round picks we got just to get rid of him, which, look, fine by me. It's addition by subtraction, anything to get rid of him. But
it is a shame that we have to, you know, he's got an 18 mil dead cap.
I think next year he's guaranteed. And then the following year would be a team option, which we would decline.
Yeah. I'm sorry. He's not here for that long.
No, buddy of mine thinks he's no matter what, he's not going to be on the team next year, which, yeah. I mean, thank God. We just, you know, we need to play the young kids. But look, I know we both like Adams. He's a solid player, you know, nice contributor, good presence. But it was questionable why Griffin extended him for 2 more years. Like, that didn't make sense to me, especially when you have Hayes. It's like, look, if Hayes isn't ready, that's fine. But you kind of need Hayes to develop. It looks like maybe he has finally turned the corner, but now you're going to have Adams for the next couple of years at $17 million a season.
That's a lot, isn't it?
For his production, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, he's probably a $10 million a year guy. It that didn't make sense. Like, why not just wait till the offseason, see what his market is? It's probably not a huge market. Get him to, and if he likes it here, get him to come back. And if not, okay, you move forward with Hayes and maybe you sign a free agent or draft another guy.
Yeah, like, I wasn't a big fan of Derek Favors, but then I was like, do you know what? For the money Favors would have, and the production, and the same that we're paying, and also what we're paying Steven Adams, I probably would have gone Favors.
Yeah, I mean that's it. You know, the $10 million number, that's the number for him, not 17.
No, and we can get away with that because we're paying Zion pennies.
Yeah, for right now. But in addition to Lonzo, you've got Hart, who's going to be a free agent. And that's, you know, he's probably going to be, I don't know, 12 maybe. And
I'd pay him 12.
Yeah, I probably would. I wish his shot was a little better, more consistent. Just because you love everything else that he does on the floor, but his shot isn't always there enough as it probably needs to be.
His defensive hustle, his work rate off the ball is incredible. He's definitely one of the best players in the roster for his work rate off the ball.
Yeah, and considering how poor our defense has been a lot of the times, I mean, he is our best defender.
Yeah. So, we touched on a little bit about, I just want to talk a little bit more about Alexander Walker. Like, when does this guy... When Lonzo comes back, does he take Bledsoe's spot, and then you go with Lonzo and Walker as your guards?
Probably, yeah. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd fucking bench Bledsoe. Bledsoe would get 0 minutes for me. Just start Lonzo and Alexander Walker. Bring Kyra off the bench. Bring Hart off the bench. You know, those are your two guards off the bench.
Mm. Honestly, I thought we were past the era of the Bledsoes, like the Solomon Hills and all that lot. Like, I generally thought we were past that.
No, I mean, and look, it could end up being Adams in a year or two. You know,
I think I think if Adams will be, I think. He'll be okay for the rest of the season. I think, you know, if he's going to get you what he did last night, 12 points a game and near enough 10 rebounds, mm-hmm. you take that.
Yeah, it's steady, and then when you combine it with Hayes' production, especially the scoring, you know, I think the combination of those two guys should be just fine for us.
Exactly, and then you can look to maybe move him on with draft a guy or something. We'll see, but no. It's definitely Zion's and Ingram's team. Zion's just incredible last night.
It's every night. It's every night. It's amazing that teams can't stop him. They know what he's going to do. They know he's going to come through. He's going to turn left. And they still can't stop him. And it is kind of amazing watching him, too, even when the way he could twist and move his body to go around people and the moves he has, it's amazing. I can't believe this kid's 20.
It's ridiculous when you think about it. have you watched the series on Netflix, Last Chance U Basketball?
No.
I was looking at it, and these kids are 20, 21. I'm like, you're the same age as Zion. Mm-hmm. And what Zion's doing is just freakish.
Right. I mean, he's scored 20 points in 21 consecutive games now. He's shooting percentage is like 65%. Like, it's amazing. Like 90 something percent of his shots are all in the restricted area, all in the paint. Just think when he develops like a 20 foot jump shot. Cause now, you know, with Point Zion being unleashed, the defenders are kind of back there. They know he's coming in, but if he could just stop and pop and shoot a little jump shot.
Yeah.
You know, then it is kind of crazy. Like how consistent he's been. He's always in like the 27-28 range. It's crazy that he hasn't scored 40 points yet. I'm still waiting for the game where he just keeps going. And some of it is we really don't give him the ball as much as we probably should.
Is that to think because minutes? Yeah, obviously we don't give him the ball as much as we could. But there's been a couple of games this season where it's infuriating watching us, and you're thinking we're holding on to a lead here. You've got someone who's shooting at 66%, and you're not getting it. And he's just a bully inside the paint, and you're not getting it to him. But do you think it's just because we're being cautious of his minutes? We haven't seen that. He's not playing. He's not playing the same sort of minutes as, unfortunately, Bledsoe and Ingram are playing.
But he is playing a decent amount. I mean, he's still playing over 30 minutes a game. I mean, they may be limiting it somewhat, but considering how efficient he is, I mean, even in 33 minutes, I feel like he should still be able to get 40. It's one of the issues is it's crazy, and this is I really hate NBA officiating and the way players are called differently. Like he gets hit so much and just does not get fouls called. It's crazy how much he shoots in the paint, how much he always takes it to the basket, and how few free throws he attempts. Now he did attempt 10 last night, but these games were just, he gets hacked on every play. And so many times nothing gets called because he doesn't bitch about it.
Yeah. He needs to learn that streak, I think. Try and win some more free throws that way. Like you see some people over-exaggerating contact. Unfortunately, that's the modern-day NBA. You've got to do that now.
It's frustrating. I wish they would end this bullshit, man. It really is frustrating to watch.
So let's just go back a couple of... We haven't obviously podcast for a while. Just touch on a few games. The one that springs to mind, first of all, is the Celtics game. Oh, sorry, before that, typical Pelican fashion, we lost the Pistons a month ago. That just sums this team up.
We've lost to the worst teams in the East and the West.
Yeah.
But then we beat.
Right. So we had a really good game. We had a really good comeback overtime victory against the Celtics. That was incredible. Were you at that game or?
No, I was driving back from Florida that day.
That was a sensational game. That was. And we can't beat the Jazz as well. Like, no one saw that coming.
No, even me. Like, I was at that game and walking into the game, Renee is like, look, they're probably going to kill us. Or this could all be, that's the kind of game that we also somehow win. You know, we lose to the shit teams and the teams that we not supposed to stand a chance on. Somehow we play well and win.
That was once again, Zion, again, Brandon Ingram getting 26 points, Lonzo up there. Even Bledsoe got double digit points that game. So JJ Redick getting points. And, you know, that just shows you when you got players, you know, we had no one scoring over 30 points that game, but we had a good couple of people getting double digits, and then Brandon and Zion getting in there and getting into the 20s. That's what you need.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously you're going to have the main two, but right. Get everybody else involved. And that's some of the point Zion getting unleashed. The one good thing that he's been able to do is get assists. I mean, he had 5 assists last night. So he's been able to make the right passes because, I mean, these teams, once he gets the ball deep down there, I mean, they crash 3 guys on him. And, you know, it is going to open up everybody else. And that's the only way you're going to be a consistent winning team. You got to have these other guys be able to make shots. You can't just be Zion and Ingram, even though it's going to be them most of the time.
Yeah. And then typical, I think this is the game that I think really pissed me off the most was when we got beaten by 30 points to the Timberwolves. I just don't get how that happens.
First game out of the break too. It's just, it's crazy. It's so infuriating. You're not alone. That's what, you know, this team has
that's a Gentry. That's what we've known about Gentry. That's a Gentry move. That's what happened with Gentry in all of Gentry's teams.
Yeah.
Not now. We can't be doing that now. We've moved on from that, but it looks like we have since that it kind of looks like we have moved on bar the one slip up against the Trailblazers where we should have won. We beat the Cavs very comfortably. That was a good result. Then we beat the Clippers. Well, didn't beat the Clippers, destroyed the Clippers.
Destroyed them. Yeah, yeah, that was a really good win.
Well, that's a fantastic really win. And then we have, but then we back that up with the heartbreak against the Trailblazers.
That's been one of Ingram's issues is his in clutch situations. He just has not been very good.
That's young players though. The way we said, we're going to have to try, you know, go play these young players, not buy these vets. But with young players, you do get those growing pains. And we might look back at that and say, yeah, that was a growing pain. I never expected us to win the second game against the Blazers after the way it ended in the first game. But then to bounce back from that, because I thought we really could have gone on a negative spiral with the run of games that we had coming up. I thought we could have really gone on a negative spiral, but then beating the Nuggets and then the Lakers. It was really good, solid from us there.
That was a really good win against Denver. Yeah, a really good win against Denver. I mean, that's just the crazy part. And coming into the season, I kind of had a feeling with the shortened off season, still all the COVID protocols, you still got a lot of pieces coming together. It was going to take a while to kind of figure it out. It frustrates you because you see them beat the good teams. So it gets your expectations up. It's like, oh, this is what they can be. And then, right, to lose by 30 to Minnesota is just like, it's inexplicable. You never know what to expect.
Yeah. Those games against the Blazers, Damian Lillard just took over. Like, the guy's a freak. Like, ridiculous. But in the game against the Nuggets, Jokic had an incredible game. And we still managed to beat him. So that was good. No AD, no LeBron. Obviously, we spoke about the Lakers. Don't care. Sort your own team. That's what happens when you trade the rest of the team around you. You have to fill it with nobodies.
Right. Fuck them. But one last point about Portland and watching Dame do that. It's like, man, you miss Holiday.
Yeah.
And those, for those games, you really miss because Holiday had his number. Holiday shut his ass down.
Yeah. Well, do you remember when we played him in the playoffs? And
oh, God. It? Yep. Just so awesome.
That was so good.
That's the highlight of the franchise.
It is, isn't it?
The Bell, you know, since renaming the Pelicans.
Then we got butchered by the Warriors in the next round.
Yeah.
Oh god, fun days. I just, this is like old Saints talking, isn't it? Remember that time we won a playoff game? Right.
You remember those pre-Zion days?
But Steel got very hard schedule coming up. Nuggets again, who will be looking for revenge, but come on, we can beat them. Then Dallas, yeah. Boston again, and then Orlando, Atlanta, Houston, Atlanta. I'd like to come out of that, I think, with a winning record.
Yeah, I mean we have to. Yeah, I'm going to the Denver game on Friday.
I'll be fine.
So. Yeah, I mean, once you get through, because I mean, Dallas, I think the last time they beat us, we struggled. But look, maybe we've, with some of the young guys kind of turning a corner, maybe we play them a little better, play them a little different. So
beating the Lakers might just be the turning point this team needs.
I mean, maybe they're starting to believe it and starting to realize, hey, we actually have to put forth some effort on both sides of the ball, not just score a shit ton of points.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting through, all the way up to Atlanta. I mean, Boston's scuffling. They're around 500. I mean, Orlando can beat Atlanta twice. I mean, they've been playing better since they fired their coach, but Houston sucks. So, if we can, like beat Denver to start it off, then, I mean, who knows? Go on a little run.
I mean, that's what we need, I think. If we need to get playoffs, we need a run.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely going to need one because you still got to catch. I think Memphis is around 500. So, I mean, right. It's
great. Yeah. Memphis, we're far back.
Yeah. Five back. Yeah. Five games under 500. But yeah, just going a little run. I mean, anything can happen. Just have something click.
Don't go and lose to teams like the Rockets, the Timberwolves. Don't go
Magic,
and lose.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Don't go and lose to those teams. That's just, you got to win your basic, win your basic games. Otherwise, you're gonna get in trouble. You're not gonna be able to go and play. And it's easier to make the playoffs in the NBA than it is in any other American sport.
Yeah, especially with the play-in.
But the it's just been, it's bollocks of being in the East. It being in the West, sorry.
I know, I've said ever since they kicked us to the West, like, it makes no sense. I mean, we're east of the Mississippi. We should be in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
I hate that the West is, the West just continues to be so brutal. Like, it's so frustrating.
Our record would see us sitting ninth or eighth in the East. Mm-hmm. But we would have played more teams in the East.
Right.
I reckon we'd definitely be in the top eight if we were an East team.
Yeah. Hard to argue against that.
But then they're talking about expanding the league, aren't they? Two teams being mentioned. I've been reading on expansions with Seattle and Las Vegas getting a team.
Huh.
So that's two West teams. You see where I'm coming from here?
Yeah.
You're going to have to move two teams from the West over to the East.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody. Oh, hell yeah.
Wrap it up, fuckers.
All right. Yo, wrap that shit up.
You want a quick guest appearance? Hey.
Hey.
Basketball Jeff. Fans.
What's your thoughts on the Pelicans moving to the East instead of the West? He got
He's like, what? What's the East?
That's a real thing? Like, that's a reality? A realistic opportunity?
They're looking at two expansion teams coming in, potentially Seattle and Las Vegas, what means two teams from the West potentially would have to move across to the East. The ones I'm looking at that would potentially move across would be Minnesota, us, or Memphis.
Yeah, maybe I would say, yeah, New Orleans and Memphis kick us over.
Yeah.
Better chance of winning.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
See, I know that. All right. Thanks for
because you got people like Jeff that live in the area and don't support the team.
Right?
Nothing's gone.
Nothing.
Nothing. Oh, God. But yeah, let's go back to that. So that is, you know, that is my dream scenario that these two expansion teams are going to come in Seattle and Las Vegas, and we get slid across.
That'd be kind of, I'd be all right with it.
Oh, you I think know. Everyone, I think we'll be celebrating if that happens.
Plus, get us out of the division with San Antonio and Dallas.
Yeah. So. I don't know what division we'd go into, but.
We probably get stuck in the whichever one has like Miami and Orlando, the Southeast, probably
Atlanta.
Yeah,
we could get a basketball rivalry with Atlanta.
I'll be for that too.
Yeah, I mean,
that'd be fantastic.
Every time you see Atlanta anywhere already, he's like, it's Atlanta. You don't want them to, you know, you want to beat him, but I think we could add to a rivalry. But yeah, we can hope. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I just hope they can, whatever they've started to figure out, I just hope it continues. I don't want any more. And look, it'll probably happen once or twice the rest of the year at least. They'll just throw out a dud. That's kind of what happens in the NBA. But I just want to see them continue to play a little more consistently, especially on the defensive end, and just keep getting these kids minutes and don't give Bledsoe any minutes. You know, that's the biggest thing. Just, I don't want to see fucking Eric Bledsoe anymore.
No. Will we see a full Smoothie King before the end of the season with COVID, or?
No, I don't think so. It's up to like maybe 4,000 right now.
Okay, so we're getting more than the Superdome was.
Yeah, I mean, there were a few games in the Dome which were more, but then it spiked again and it went back down. But we'll see. I mean, if they make the playoffs, we'll see what it could look like by the end. Who knows? Could have 5,000-6,000. Maybe more, who knows?
You're still dreaming now, I think.
I mean, look, probably so.
I'm sorry to bring you down there, but I just can't see it.
Oh, just people get vaccinated, man. Come on.
Yeah, I've had mine. You've had yours, haven't you?
No, I'll be scheduling mine as soon as I'm eligible. I might be eligible yet. I don't know, but yeah. Renee was supposed to get hers, and she got sick and had to reschedule. So, but yeah. I'll be getting it pretty much as soon as I can. So,
yeah, let's do it. Fingers crossed, and hopefully I can get back out there and get back into the arena and a dome next season, and we can have some fun. So, thank you all for listening to this episode of the Pelican Plunge. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol US and Dome Patrol UK. Catch out our other shows, Taking the Other Billy Gunn, The Tiger's Den with Scott, and obviously the main Dome Patrol podcast, and also the odd Premier League podcast when me and James get round to doing them. But yeah, thank you very much. Make sure you check everyone out on Twitter, all the usual places, and go Pels. See you next time.
Yep. Bye-bye, donkeys. Hopefully we'll be back sooner than the last time. What you try.